Reborn out of disaster, four survivors rose again to form a legion of the world's strangest heroes. Da-da-da-doom Patrol!
Once again to the Doom Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Scott Coles, and with me, as always,
is Murray Fox. And this week, we are looking at Doom Patrol number 111, with a cover date of May 1967.
Oh, 67.
67. Mm-hmm. Sunny 67.
Yeah, it looks to be a good one this week.
Yes.
Giant green dude beating the tar out of Cliff and Larry in space.
In space. Awesome. He's got
a funky helmet. And before him, all Earth trembles. He is Xerox 13, king of the criminal cosmos.
Not just any cosmos, the criminal cosmos. Yes. Which is to be, you know, differentiated from all the rest of the space cosmoses out
the
there.
The law-abiding cosmos.
That's right.
The, merely delinquent cosmos.
That's right. As a kid, you're at that one, and then you move on up.
That's right. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, right on. Alrighty, let's dive
in. So, yep, let's open her up. By the way, I just have to mention this is one of my copies that I actually have the actual copy of, and it's in good shape. Oh, it's so nice.
Lovely.
Nothing that warms the cockles more than a shiny copy of a 50-year-old book.
That's right. And it is. 60, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Old comic smell and everything. Yum, yum, yum.
So... somewhere out there in that limitless expanse of the universe, there may be a million or more inhabited worlds. Man's first meeting with a being from another planet could be the beginning of an incredible interplanetary alliance. But not if that alien being turns out to be... dun-dun-dun! Xerox 13, Emperor of the Cosmos.
Oh, that could totally be a movie.
Yeah. All right, so we have a giant radio transmitter... military and scientific leaders have gathered for an emergency meeting. Intelligent radio signals from space are approaching the planet. Who knows? We have no way of determining their source or intention. And she says, I call bullshit. I have negative man.
That's right.
He uses the science behind the negative man, how he can do 180,000 miles per second.
All from the power of radio.
You can't remain outside my body for more than 60 seconds, so my limit is a distance of 5 million miles.
Alrighty.
Ah, and even put the extra science in there. But 180,000 times 60 is roughly 11 million miles.
Ooh.
Correct. But if you've only fuel for 1,000 miles, you better not go up more than 500. You'll never make it back. You goof. Science.
There you go. That's for all the math geeks out there that were doing the math in their head thinking, wait a minute.
Larry thinks he's so smart. Out-sciencing the science dudes. So he shoots out negative man and goes out the transmitter. And they shoot him out into space.
Zip, zip, zip.
Larry slumped down in his chair. It looks like he's a medium or something.
Yes.
Reading what the spirits are telling him. He's leaving the atmosphere, crossing the junkyard of space. Material left behind by man's early space tries. There's a glove and a pipe wrench for some reason.
Excellent.
He scoots through the Van Allen radiation belt. He's a million miles out now. 4 million miles out. Oh, hey, it's a spaceship, taller than a 5-story building. He's doing a speed estimate by racing beside it, 200,000 miles per hour. He's going to move closer. No, Larry, don't let him do it.
Ooh, zap.
Oh, dang. Vreet! And a laser pokes out of the spaceship and Ben's native man in half. Oh, right in the spine.
Yes. If he had a spine. If he had one, yep.
Chief's ordering Larry to bring him back. He's like, I'm going to try. And he does. So, there is an alien ship approaching Earth. We don't know where it's from, and it'll reach us in 20 hours. Alert all radar stations. At that slow, quote-unquote, speed, even traveling from the nearest star system, no man could live long enough to finish the trip. Ah, but how long do aliens live, Dr. Panjit? And suppose they've conquered life suspension? Or perhaps it is robot-driven, eh? Speak of the devil, look what is driving the ship. It's a robot. He's got all those cool vacuum cleaner hose arms.
Yes.
He's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 arms. See, that's cool because then nobody can steal your spaceship either unless they have 6 arms to work all the controls.
Totally. Because there's only one chair.
Yeah, that's a good security plan. Better than that. Boop, boop.
Yes.
So, shortly, some little green dudes come out of the space coffins. I guess they're life suspension modules.
With really freaky faces.
Yeah, they got sort of hairless faces, big bulgy eyes, small nose, reptile-like noses. So they come out and they gather in front of one particular pod, and out of that pod comes the dude from the cover. He's got the big helmet on. You know he's the boss because he gets a helmet.
Yes.
And a big championship wrestling belt. Hail Xerox 13, master of the dark forces, ruler of the ruthless, protector of the unholy, and emperor of the cosmos. Wow, that's a lot of titles.
He is way up there.
Rise, my minions. Our night-long night is ended. Before us lies a task so devilish and grandiose in concept as to be worthy even of me, your lord and master. Now we begin the final act of a plan born 12 centuries ago of our exalted ancestral leader, Xerox One. And here, in this obscure and backward solar system, lies the key. For Xerox One proclaimed even then that our cosmic kingdom would rest upon the ashes of this worthless world called by its miserable inhabitants, Earth. And so be it. Well, that's a mighty plan, for some reason. How do we always get caught up in these things? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
It's always Earth. It's a pivotal, you know, strategic importance, or it's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Trying to build a hyperspace bypass. Meanwhile, at the Paris headquarters of the Brotherhood of Evil, we have Mr. Malas talking to the Brain. That's right, Brain. Each day, Gargoyle sneaks into his room for 1 hour, and strange radio signals are heard.
Oh, Gargoyle,
you silly, silly man.
You don't want to interrupt a strange alien in their bedroom. No telling what you're going to see.
Exactly. Well, the Brain says he wants to know, so he says, go get that fat fool and bring him to me.
Ew. That ain't going to be pretty.
Gargoyle's like, it's the truth, Great Brain. I've become what Earthmen call homesick. So I sit listening for the sounds of my planet on radio.
All right.
Sure. You're ridiculous. You have the emotional system of a spider. But I tell you, it's true. And I tell you, you lie. Mala, grab him. Oh, Mr. Mala picks him up. He's going to give him the gorilla press slam. He's like, you don't dare kill me. I am your only avenue to knowledge and weapons of my world. I fear he is right, Monsieur Mala. But be warned, Gargoyle, cross me and you die horribly. Believe us, Brain, you should have handled him when you had the chance, says the editorial. We cut to the million-dollar shack of Rita and Steve Don't Call Me Daddy Dayton. Newly won ward guard Beast Boy Logan. He's like, it's not my idea, but Rita said I should show you how my helmet works. One day it might be yours. Watch. He picks up a statue with his brain waves. He's like, big deal. So you lifted a junky statue and burned a hole in some wood. You think I need that pot of yours to do that? Watch me. He turns into a gar-faced bear. smashes a hole in the wood and picks up the statue at the same time.
That's awesome.
Everybody's a show off.
That's right. That is right. Mm-hmm.
So Cliff shows up. He says, "Hey, children, the chief sent me to get Rita, but you keep up with your calisthenics. The president wants you kids physically fit, you know." Aha. I guess this is back in the day.
Yes.
The president actually cared about kids and wanted them to be healthy. She says, "I'll be back soon, dear." You want to bet? When the Doom Patrol says it's just going for a walk, it could mean anywhere from Bangkok to Bialystok. So read on.
All right.
We've got an ad for Justice League America.
Right.
Oh, no, somebody stole everybody's cool gadgets. Batman's belt and Wonder Woman's lasso and Green Arrow's arrows.
And they're using it against them.
Oh, no. Ooh, nice G.I. Joe ad. Oh, those are the good G.I. Joes, the real big ones.
Yeah.
I think I used to have that base capsule. One of my older cousins.
Nice.
I was missing most of the pieces and stuff, but still.
Yes, totally. Totally.
And an ad for Showcase. Yeah. The Maniacs. I don't know what any of that is about.
No, think Archie with
slightly hipper kids.
Slightly hipper kids. I guess. Yes. No,
we'll come back to the letters page at the end.
For sure.
Oh my god, and another ad for Superboy. Superboy fighting Dev-Em, the knave from Krypton. Ooh, Dev-Em, yeah. I know him.
You betcha.
Oh, and Crypto versus the Super Hound of Hate.
And he's got a skull and crossbones on his cape.
Yeah, that's awesome. Does he like Lex Luthor's dog?
I don't know. Huh.
Now I want to know the story. Readers, anybody know the story behind the
Super Hound of Hate?
Let us know.
Uh-huh.
Okay, off to part two. Steve Dayton's like, "What? If you're going off of that Federation of Freaks again, I'm coming with you." She's like, "No, you're not. If Chief wanted your help, you'd have asked for it. So you guys have fun. I'll see you later. You babysit.
That's right. Rita's keeping him in his place."
Yep. So both Steve and Beast Boy are upset because they don't get to go along. 3 hours later, somewhere near the North Pole, they're hunkered down on a big pile of snow.
Getting ready to do some snow surfing there.
I guess so. Checking stuff out. "What's that dark cloud floating out there? It's starting to take shape. It's some kind of head."
It looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, it looks like Kermit the Frog and Oscar sort of got put together. "Ooh boy, he's a big son of a gun. Okay, you two stay hidden here. I'll start putting the chief's plan into action," says Larry. "But remember, make sure he's unfriendly before you start the gambit. You wouldn't want to scare off a galactic good guy." "Hey, Mr. Spaceman," he says. "You did come from out there, didn't you?" Is this him? Yeah. "Yes, from a world far superior to yours. Why, you people are even feebler than I thought. This conquest shall prove simple." Okay, then. I guess he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
"Sure, I'm small," he says. "All babies are born small here." "Say that again. I read your thoughts, of course, but not your foolish speech. But your thoughts seem confused. A baby?" "No, you were right, mister. I am a baby. Wait till I call my mommy." So then Rita comes out, giant-sized. Aha. "Here I am, Larry Wary. I was coming anyway. It's time for your milk. Oh, who's your little friend?" So he's thinking, "Oh, man, they're all giants. This is going to be a little harder, but no matter, they are of low intelligence."
Sure, if they're going Larry Wary, they are.
She's like, "Oh, you left your toy lying out in the snow." And there's where she grabs Cliff and brings him over.
Very funny.
So he melts in snow with his heat coils and... "Would you like it strawberry flavored this time?" "No, the usual. Just press your chocolate circuit."
I didn't know
Robot Man had a chocolate circuit. That's awesome.
That's really awesome.
That chief, he thinks of everything.
Uh-huh. We need an ice cream sundae machine, Robot Man.
Yeah.
Come on over.
I don't want to know where the spout is, though.
Ew.
I've seen that video on the internet. It's not for me. Oh, dear. So they have robots. Not half so advanced as ours, of course, but still, my agent never informed me of this. I'd better find out more. Come here, boy! You must be a very wealthy child to own your own robot. He's like, ah, no, we build them ourselves. They're cheap. Children that build their own robots? My agent is a fool. This is a planet of geniuses. My plan would never work here. I must go now. I only came for a brief visit. Goodbye, child. Wait, it's a trick. Don't leave, Zorax 13.
Ah.
Oh, Garguax, you dick.
That's right.
So he basically narcs him out to the alien. And they sent this ship to Plan B. And as usual, Cliff's Plan B is punch him out.
Punch him out, that's right.
The metal being caught me off guard. Ugh. Now let's see how good you are at catching things. Like me, for instance. Well, that was Cliff saying that, sorry. He jumps on him, goes to jump on him, but I guess he teleports out of the way. Or he moves really fast, one of the two.
It's ice, it's slippery. He probably just slid away.
I don't know. Negative Man goes to attack him, but he sort of turns into some sort of
cloud thing.
Cloud or whatever, so he passes right through. And Rita shrinks down really small. I don't know why. She thinks she has a plan.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, what's his face?
Zerox
13. It's giving Cliff a karate chop in the belly. Oh, no. Clang. Cliff heard that one. He felt it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Zarek says, now you, with the energy man inside you, I destroy you next. Oh, no. You will not travel at the speed of light, but it will be fast enough. He picks him up, picks Larry up, and throws him. Whee! Luckily, a soft bank of snow breaks his fall.
Excellent.
I will finish you both by grinding your bodies into the snow. But Rita's on his head. She's climbed up onto his helmet, and she's short-circuiting the wires on top.
With her handy-dandy hairpin.
Yipper. She says, Cliff, go get him. He's all yours. The woman, where is she? It's okay, I don't see the good, honey, but... And he goes to give him a body check, and it works, and he gets him right in the breadbasket. Oh, no.
All right.
He must have run out of disappearing juice. Here, I'll knock him over to you, Larry, and you can have fun, too. Wham! Punch in the face. And then Larry gives him a punch in the face.
All right. It's like a little tennis game there. Bam, bam, bam. Back and forth.
Yeah. And Garguax is there to spoil the fun again. Zerox 13, it's the Energizers. The girl shorted them out. Find the short, quickly. So he reaches up and he pulls the hairpin out of his helmet. I have no further time to waste. My plan is budgeted to the last second. Come, Garguax, loyal servant. Grab my hand and I'll take you with me. Oh, so Ooh. He's working for the bad guy. Uh-huh. Shocking. So they float off in cloud form, and as usual, Doom Patrol's left wondering what the heck's going on. Oh, the bad guys got away again. Bummers.
Yeah.
Later, at the Paris headquarters of the Brotherhood of Evil, I knew Garguax was only an underling in his world. He never had the bearing of a ruler. But tell me, partner, what is this plan of yours? Oh, so he's working with Zerox, too.
Brain's got connections.
He does. That guy never works alone, that's for sure. I guess it'd be hard to if you were just a brain. So we're on the shores of Lake Erie.
All right.
Close to home.
You betcha.
Some dudes fishing in a canoe, or mm-hmm. a boat of some sort anyway. No, it looks like just a regular rowboat.
Yeah.
At that moment, millions of miles from Earth... There's the signal from Zerox 13. The gravity simulator has begun to operate. Good, Aphex. My repairs are complete now. Re-enter the ship and enjoy this little test with us. They start up this big, huge red machine. I don't know what it is. It looks like it's got a vacuum cleaner attachment or something.
Right. It's a gravity vacuum sucker-upper.
It really is, too. It all hits up there, and it's just sucking all the water out of Lake Erie. So the dudes are left stranded on a sandbank.
Yes. Yeah, it got all the water, left the boats.
Left the boats and some of the fish, yeah.
Beautiful.
That's not cool. It was a small test covering no more than 2,000 square miles, but it was sufficient. Now I will signal them to the reverse, the counter-gravity effect. So, hey, and all the water comes back down. Quarum! Ah! I guess those guys are in rough shape.
I think so. We never see them again. So either they,
perhaps they dropped, or perhaps they just went home. Who knows?
That's right. They just rode the wave back to the shores of Lake Erie.
Yeah, something like that. So, meanwhile, Doom Patrol headquarters, they look at the ever-present video monitor, and it turns out that the brain and Monsieur Mala and Madame Rouge are at the front door.
Just a little social call.
So they open the door. And, what's that?
Just a little social call.
Yeah. Hey, we're collecting money for UNICEF.
That's right. You got a cup of sugar?
Yeah. So Cliff opens the door and gives Monsieur Mala a double drop kick to the gut. Oh, no. Gentlemen, we come on a mission of ooey! So then he punches him back and drives him into the chief's chair, and his chair gets all busted up. Luckily, he can't feel his legs, so we're not.
That's right. He's not hurt.
That's right. You fools! A man like this, more than any of you, you could have killed him. Niles, are you all right? Oh. I am, Adam, but I must say your solicitude is touching. Ooh, solicitude. Never mind that. The brain offers you a truce so that we may join forces with you to combat Earth's greatest menace.
What?
Everybody does it. What?
Exactly.
Dun, dun, dun.
Woohoo.
Talk about crazy alliances, and would you trust the brain even as far as you could throw Robot Man? Don't go away, boobies. Boobies.
You know, they were all saying that in the 60s.
I guess, yeah. The party's just starting, and we'll continue in the next issue.
Woohoo!
Get an ad for Jerry Lewis and Plastic Man. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, and then we finally get...
Oh, the sizzling finale of Negative Man's Last Road.
That's right.
The private world of Negative Man, the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
So, let's see. He's still trying to be accepted by normal people. He's out walking around and people are making fun of him. Kids are making fun of him like he's a mummy. They don't know any better. No job, no friends. Behind these bandages, a face that would frighten any girl. Might as well pack my bags and get out before I break my mom's heart any further. My son, the freak. Ha! So he's going to move out and go far, far away, I guess. And she says, never mind. Come with me. I want you to meet a good friend. This is Mr. Tolliver, a lovely gentleman I met at the Sunshine Club, the recreation center for old-timers.
Lovely. The Sunshine Club.
He's your new daddy. I mean, what? So they have tea and pleasant conversation. And Larry's like, what? They're closing the Sunshine Club? But why? There's plenty of senior citizens in this area. Money, Larry. The root of all evil. The most comfort. The club is broke. Besides, most of us old folks don't really care much.
Not when we got cute chippies like your mom to hang out with.
That's right.
I don't need the center. I'm just moving in here.
That's right. Run a train on your mom like you wouldn't believe. So, these cookies are terrific. But Mr. Tolliver baked them. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's recipe. It would have died with her if I hadn't. I got an idea for you. The Girl Scouts do it and make millions every year. Why not you, great old scouts? Sell them door to door.
There you go. Old scout cookies.
But as you know, old people have no heart left and no spirit. They'd never go for this. So Larry's mom says, that's okay. Larry can talk them into it. who had a better right to quit than you, Larry? And look how you're fighting back. He's like, yeah, I was just about to go and cap myself, but all right. I'll give him a pep talk. So he goes, and the following day we catch the end of the speech, I guess. And finally, take Franklin Roosevelt, the polio victim who became president. Or Sam Langford, who defended his boxing crown while almost blind. They didn't quit. Or you either, Mr. Trainer. And neither will we. Hooray!
Oh, they got the point of the speech.
Yeah, wow, that's good.
And you just know it was one of those speeches where he like listed off every person in the world that had some difficulty, but
that's right.
Persevered.
Abraham Lincoln had that word on his face. God.
And Washington chopped down a tree.
Yeah. With a dull axe. So the oldies are getting together. They're like, I can sell cookies. Ha ha. I ran a hospital kitchen for 20 years. Ha ha. I can keep the books. Let's get cracking. Hold it, folks. Sorry we got you all stirred up for nothing. The landlord just gave us 10 days to pay up or get out. So like, there you go with that loser attitude again. You're not beaten. We can make that 10-day deadline, especially with Negative Man to speed things along. Well, I mean, things cook as they cook. You can't really speed that part of it up.
I guess.
But he tries. He goes in there and he paints and sets up the kitchen. Da, da, da.
And gets a super new oven.
And 24 hours later, they have cookies and they taste awful. Oh, noes. I tried to substitute for one ingredient, a rare spicy herb that grows down in Argentina. I knew it would take weeks to get a supply, but the cookies are just a bust without it. Okay. Argentinian spice cookies, here we go.
All right.
Larry sends out the Negative Man to go grab some herbs. He comes back and they make more cookies and they're awesome and they go and they sell them. He takes them to the president.
And if the president supports your cookies.
That's what I call a real fine cookie, son, and worthy for so worthy a cause. I don't know, supposed to be Kennedy, I guess.
I guess so.
No, this is 67. It would be after Kennedy. Who's after Kennedy? I don't know.
I don't know. One of you American listeners. I'm sure you'll let us know.
Yeah. Anyhow. Is it LBJ? No, he was after Nixon, wasn't he? I don't know. Anyway, the president has cookies. They're awesome. Job well done.
Yes.
So they've saved the Sunshine Club.
Woohoo!
He goes to check it out, and it's locked. He sends Negative Man through the door. Zoop! And inside, holy smoke, what are you doing here? Dr. Death, why are you sticking your rotten hands into this place? He's like, I'm sorry you discovered me, Trainer, but now that you have, please don't be insulting. Why, I'm the driving force behind this fine establishment. And it turns out that Mr. Tolliver is actually him.
Oh, yeah.
And he throws a gas bomb at Larry, chokes him, knocks him out. Dr. Death throws him into a lead-lined coffin like you always do with Negative Man. But it has a little radio thing so you can talk. It's sealed perfectly. Negative Man can't get out. Only Negative Man could have obtained that herb for me since it was from a condemned field. The herb contains selenium, an element which can drive anyone consuming it to suicidal madness. Wow.
Excellent.
That is a convoluted plot to try to kill the president, I'll tell you.
Hypno cookies.
Oh, no. He sends the signal to drive men mad. I discovered a man who is Sloan's exact double. I'll hide the body and replace him with my man and rule the nation. Meanwhile, in the president's bedroom, die, the night reaches out for me. I must die. He goes, he's going for the window. And vice president. Oh, I see. So with the vice president and the president out of the way, the Speaker of the House takes over.
Right.
And he's got a double for the Speaker of the House. So, The vice president's car is careening off a canyon side road. Whee!
Zoosh.
And in Congressman Sloan's house, something inside me urging me on. Take the gun. Point the gun at yourself. Voice seemed to be saying, can't resist. Can't. Well, looks like it's all over for these dudes.
Mm-hmm. However.
But at the same moment, Dr. Death is handling an intruder. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Tolliver. When I was measuring this place for that electronic stove I built for you, I believe I dropped my Phi Beta key. And it's the chief, of course. No bother, sir. Good to see you again. I thought this baby flashlight could find it for me, but no such luck. Well, I'll be rolling off now. So I guess he shoots his little flashlight, and it does something. Dr. Death goes back downstairs to check out what's going on. He goes to Larry's coffin and switches the speaker back on so Larry can talk to him again. He says, speak. Oh, you're playing some kind of little trick, eh? It'll do you no good. But the reason is that negative man is busted out.
That's right. That
How did he bust out? Read on, Macduff.
Read on.
So Negative Man goes out and zoom and catches the vice president's car and puts it back on the road, catches the president before he dives out the window, and manages to deflect the bullet before Congressman Sloan can shoot himself in the head.
That is amazing.
Instantly, Negative Man returns and explodes open the lead case. Darkness, like, how did you escape? He says, I think it had something to do with that visitor you had, Dr. D, and I'll bet you this is his calling card. I'll check it out as soon as I deliver you to the police. So it turns out the chief's flashlight was actually a baby laser, and he poked a hole in the case big enough for Negative Man to get out.
Awesome.
And by the way, I got a proposition for you. And we know how the rest of that goes.
That's right.
So there you go. The beginning of the Fabulous Doom Patrol.
Woohoo! Excellent.
Wild.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
You have a very hungry cat?
I have a very sucky cat. Feed me. Yes.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's making his presence known there.
Oh, that's for sure.
Excellent. Oh, look at that. We get like a little, what is this, an extra letter page?
It's, I don't know, I'm not sure. It's
a figure superhero.
See. Yeah. There's a text piece. What's it called?
How to Figure a Superhero. Sounds like it's like a little blippity blip about how comics are made, how to draw, maybe.
That's all lines and...
Yes.
And figuring out measurements and stuff like that. Yes. Neat.
There you go.
Basically, it's an ad for kids to stay in school because math is good.
Math is good. That's right. Cool. Totally. And we flip on back to that letters page. Where was it? Way back at the beginning.
Yes, we have a letter saying that Galtry is the best villain. She is mean, nasty, and generally finky. Ah, finky.
He's finky, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, see? Crossovers work. Look at that. Dear editor, thank Teen Titans for making me a Doom Patrol fan. I'd never read the feature until I picked up a copy that included Beast Boy. As for that boisterous brat, I say bravo, Beast Boy.
Oh yeah, people loves the Beast Boy.
Right on.
Oh, and so in answer to overwhelming cries from fans, next issue will feature a way out emotional epic called The Waif of the Wilderness. I guess this will be the Beast Boy feature, backup feature.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's coming. That is coming.
Yeah. We have a lot of questions about, let's see, why don't you change the Doom Patrol's costumes to Midnight Blue? I don't know why you would.
Yeah.
Somebody asking about the difference in the covers, because since Bob Brown took over drawing them.
Right.
That's about it. There's a little thing for a fanzine.
Yes.
Cool. A monthly comic comments number 7. A monthly available to all fans with a 5-cent stamp.
All right.
5 cents. Wow.
Woo. Excellent.
So there we have it. Another rollicking 60s episode of The Doom Patrol.
The Doom Patrol. Exactly. Exactly.
So we'll have to see what happens next month when they team up to fight Xerox.
That's right.
Teaming up with the Brotherhood. Oh, man.
It's rough.
You gotta love those classic...
good guy, bad guy team-ups. Yep. That's right. And we've got the Madame... I was going to call her Madame Rogue. Madame Rouge. Madame Rouge. Madame Rouge. And the Chief getting cozy.
Oh, nose. Mm-hmm. Well, she likes what the heart wants, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Even if your heart is inside a crazy evil chick.
That's right. Alrighty. Well, on that rubber chick note, we'll take our leave.
Yeah.
If you want to send us a comment, you can send us a note to doompodtroll@gmail.com, or you can head on over to our website, doompodtroll.com, where all of our episodes are up, and they all have a little comment thread if you choose to use them, and we would be happy to see you over there.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. With that, we will see you next week. We're sorry about the brief hiatus, but some people get vacations.
Yeah, I was off wandering, and the laptop was supposed to come with me, but it's dead, so it stayed home.
Alas, poor laptop, we knew you well.
That's right. Alrighty.
See you next week.
Catch you later.